The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and thank you so much for joining me for today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood, I'm the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited. And Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. It's also broadcast around the Canterbury region by Plains Media and through the Wairarapa by Arrow FM. Well, today we've got the second of our three-part conversation with former Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Dr. Morgan Williams. We're picking up from last time talking about the storms, and in particular the storms that hammered the Tasman region, and segueing this time into what that sort of thing means for forestry. I do hope you enjoy it. It's axiomatic in climate discussions that everything is connected, and in many cases of flooding, big questions have been asked about forestry as well, from species selection to the management of slash and debris from harvesting. What lessons are there for us in the experience of places like Tairawhiti or Marahau, as well as last year in Tasman? And do you think we've learned those lessons?
The simple answer to that is yes. But the caveat is that it's a very, very complex area. And it's not just tree species, but it's, as most people would understand, it's also topography and geology. And so I think the severe events of the East Coast have highlighted that we have got an issue around the management of radiata forests and their harvesting debris. But I think it's important to look at the context of that across New Zealand, because if we come back to the Marahau area, you've got a geology there that's very unstable, and it doesn't matter what species you've got on it, whether it's beech forest or radiata or some other introduced species. If you get the right set of rainfall conditions and very high soil moistures, the whole system just collapses. And in terms of the forestry management, one of the issues, of course, is managing what debris is accumulated at these trucking sites or the clearance sites. And here in this region, there is a lot of that is collected for pellet, wood pellet production. And I think it's fair to say that the forestry industry here is running a cleaner slate generally than probably that on the East Coast. However, as always, I think it's important that there is very good follow-up research, and in the case of the East Coast, I know there's been a major look at where was all the debris coming from. And so there's been very big surveys done of what was on the beach from the events of 3 years ago or so and more recently. And it's much more complex than the slash of a harvest. You've also got, unfortunately, a lot of whole trees. The evidence is it a cut piece of timber or does it have roots on it? And we know from many flood events that bank damage and whole slip collapse, as we've seen in the most recent tragic cases in the North Island, takes the whole forest in one piece, roots and all.
Definite food for thought there. And I know in the 2025 Tasman storms, a big part of the problem was the huge quantity of wind-thrown timber that going right over by the roots and giving them a very tight window of time in which to make any productive use of the resultant fallen timber. Moving on, and I want to pick up something in a way that you touched on a little earlier in our conversation. Belinda Story is a researcher that I've interviewed, and she's a specialist in managed retreat, and she highlights how amnesia bias, that's her term, and optimism bias apply in areas impacted by adverse events. For example, an inundated coastal property commonly sees its value drop for just a few years before it climbs back to match the rest. And in a way, you were talking about our short memories before. In these cases, we resist even the lessons just a little way back in our rear view mirror. Do you think we need, say, better public education campaigns or some other strategy to help us keep these new realities front of mind?
That's a very good question. But again, it's one of those ones where you've got to stand back, and it's much more than simple public education. It's really a recognition of what's actually changing and how it's changing. And it's also important that the belief and acceptance of what we would normally term as science as part of the picture. And my concern is that in New Zealand, we're seeing, and it's a trend in other parts of the world, and it's not a new one, a growing disbelief and lack of trust in science per se. And COVID highlighted that with spades in terms of people's attitude to and beliefs around inoculations and vaccination. But it's also playing out right around the world now, most acutely in terms of every policy in the US in relation to climate is in fact a denial policy, and it's been very destructive. And that is also playing out here in New Zealand with the current coalition. Unfortunately, many of the things they're doing, and you've got ministers at the cabinet table who are saying quite openly they're climate skeptics. So that's a bit like saying to your surgeon and your medical team, thank you very much for the very excellent set of CT scans and deep look at me and where my body's going, but I simply don't believe your diagnosis. The whole point I'm making here, and it's a critical one, is that we have a lot of people in our communities and at all levels who in fact fully do recognise the challenge that New Zealand faces, their business faces, their community faces, and many of them form very good groups, like, for example, in the Motueka Valley and so on. But embedded in all those, and I've walked into them far too often in recent years, you've got deep climate sceptics. And they, in fact, colour, and if they're have got mana in the community, they colour what gets done all the time, and it's still very insidious.
I don't have any trouble agreeing with you, but it's also deeply worrying. I've witnessed exactly the same thing. I want to talk now about a role you had in chairing the what was known as the Right Tree, Right Place Task Force for Nelson City Council that reviewed Nelson City's forestry and proposed a forward-looking approach to its ongoing management. Please, can you join the dots for us between the recommendations of that task force and flood mitigation and management in the region's rivers?
Well, it may be no surprise, but in fact, they're very similar to what I've just outlined in our discussion with the Mayor of Tasman. The reality was that Nelson City was grappling with how to manage 600 hectares of radiata forest, that the general desire was to phase out of that species into other species, particularly indigenous native species. But the reality was that that 600 hectares sat within 10,500 hectares of the mostly beech forest that was owned by the city council that runs all the way from the top end of Trafalgar Street, nearly, right up to the back of the city. And so you had a need to see the forest as a whole, not the forest and the few bits on the front. So to cut to our recommendations, which were based on four background papers that we did on economics and social and ecological issues, it was a hierarchy of recommendations that started with leadership. that was number one, was that you needed a forest systems manager, because you have got a very big asset here with enormous values, of which the small piece of commercial forest is sort of a pimple on the pumpkin in a way. So our cascade of recommendations went from that high-level leadership need, strategic needs, right down to forestry action in the next planting season. So it went from the strategic, the leadership, to what do you do? And it's that first part that seems to be the problem all over New Zealand in the systems, whether it's what we do with roads, what we do with water, and so on. So exactly the same with managing our stormier weather.
Yes, two emerging themes that come through strongly. One is the question of leadership, and the other one is what I know of as wide boundaries thinking, which ties in, I think, a bit with your comments about systems thinking. So, and that in a way gives me a segue into the final question for this segment of our discussion. Listeners know I love to give guests a climate strategy magic wand and invite them to cast a climate strategy spell with it. I'll be very interested to see how you pick up on this, but if you had such a wand, what climate strategy would you most like to conjure up with it, Morgan, and why would that get pride of place with you?
Well, magic wands are a lovely myth, so I put that in the magic myth category, because what we're dealing with is a classic case of adjusting many interwoven systems. So responding to climate is like so many things we have to respond to across society and economy. It's deeply systems orientated. It's got many moving parts. And we see time and time again a magic wand in the policy sense over all sorts of spheres of New Zealand and other parts of the world that in fact have a lot of unintended consequences. So I'm not into spells or magic wands. I'm into looking at the entire interwoven system, its physical, in the case, let's come back to climate, physical vulnerability, how you build financial resilience, what people's appetite for risk are, insurance viability, regional coordination, central government practices and support, and forestry and real-time monitoring of weather events. So those are all the sorts of things that I would expect to be in my basket of this is the way to proceed.
Thank you so much for that measured response, Morgan. I'm not that surprised that you diverted to the side of the question and reframed it a bit, and you had good cause to do that. So that'll give me cause to think whether I present the question in that form to future guests or not. Well, that brings us to the end of this segment on a very thought-provoking note on which to do so as well. When Morgan returns with us in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about something quite different. We'll be going in a bit of a deep dive into the wholesale electricity market in New Zealand. So look out for that. So anyway, thank you so much for your company. And as always, of course, I hope I enjoy it next week. And also, as always, kia kaha for the climate. You're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show. first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.